we do five. Welcome! It's an organ day! The original synthesizer. We're going to talk about what an organ is, why is it good, why is it good for production, how does it work, and we're going to try to explain everything through the lens of the synthesizer backwards through time. So, we're going to talk shop and hopefully help you make use of yet another tool in the tune shed.
Hey, welcome to the Tune Shed, the workshop for everything music, history, theory, creative process, production, you name it. We're here to become better music listeners, better music lovers, and better creators. I'm your host, Mick Blurry, and I'm here with my dear childhood friend and professional musician, Marty Gray. What's up, Marty?
Boop, 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 boop. Organ day.
I got something for you. What is the biggest organ?
What is the biggest organ? I don't know.
Well, the biggest organ in your body is your skin.
Is that... Now, is that bigger than the biggest musical organ?
Definitely not.
Oh, shoot.
I wonder how big the biggest musical organ is.
Let's look it up.
I know Oregon's pretty big. I live in Oregon.
That might be the biggest organ.
I think it's the biggest organ, yeah.
What's the biggest pipe organ? The Midmeloche pipe organ. Boardwalk Hall also houses an enormous musical treasure. Where is it? Where's Boardwalk Hall?
No one knows.
Boardwalk Hall, Atlantic City. Holy crap, this thing has six rows of keys. What the heck?
Whoa, that is
big. I'm looking at a picture at this thing, and it has six rows of keys. And here are all the stops. Oh, my God. I got to share the screen. Holy crap.
How many stops we got?
Oh, my God. Look at all those. Look at these six rows of keys. And this whole wall is stops, which we'll explain what those are in a second.
It's crazy how the rows of keys get increasingly, like, more steep as you have to, like, lift your hands up above your head probably to play that last set. And they're, like, almost horizontal.
I'd probably feel vertical. So fun to play.
Yeah.
You know?
If you got that kind of mind. I feel like playing an organ. I feel like playing an organ. I can't not say organ. I feel like it breaks your mind. You know, your feet. A lot of people don't know. You have a whole keyboard for your feet. And you're playing with both your hands. And a lot of music for organ is especially like everything is super independent and crazy. And then there's stop. So, yeah, maybe you should just tell us what an organ is.
Yeah, we should just go through, like, the different parts, like, how an organ works. Because, yeah, I'm sure a lot of people are like, stops? Like, foot pedals? What the heck?
All this came up, too, because we were talking about synths, obviously, is the synth series.
Yes.
And what even happened? We were talking about how the oscillator makes the sound, and then you have to send it to an amp, right, to be amplified.
That's right.
Right? And then, so I thought to myself, wait, how did organs amplify sound,
dude,
back in the day?
I learned this upon researching this episode, because I said, oh, I have no idea, actually. I don't know. I don't know how it works, but now I know.
All right,
so dude, we're gonna get into it, and I thought it'd be super fun. You know, we're just gonna get right into it.
Let's
now
just jump right into things.
I would love to jump right into things.
Before we do that, though, I can't resist, and I keep forgetting to say this. We have a little link for listener support. If you want to support us, if you like us, if you're fed up with us using Zoom video and want us to upgrade to something better, really what we want to do is we want to enhance this experience for everyone, and we want to put everything that we can into this, and we would appreciate some support doing that. So that's my spiel. Actually, let's just get right into it. There's a link in the show notes if you're interested, by the way. Anyways, organs.
Organs. Okay, well, let's start from the very beginning, a very good place to start. We're just going to get right into it. You play it like a piano. Okay. For those that don't know, an organ, you play it like a piano. There are keys, and the keys are organized in the same way as a piano would. However, there are multiple rows of keys, right? A piano typically just has one row of keys, 88, but an organ will have multiple rows. You know, if you've ever seen a church organ, usually there's two or three. But the biggest organ in the world that we just saw has six rows.
So it's like six pianos combined.
Kind of, yeah. And Every organ is organized a little bit. Organized.
Organized.
Weird. Organized. They're all organized a little bit different. And I'll sort of explain why there are multiple rows later when we learn more about the organ. But for now, let's just move on. There are foot pedals, one that controls the volume of the sound coming in. So that's your amp,
Oh, really?
right?
What?
Yeah. So there's a little foot pedal, and if you could see my feet, I'm showing my feet for free. You sort of like press it like that, and then depress it like that. So the ball of your foot sort of lifts the organ up. Or it sort of like lifts the pedal up, and the heel of your foot pushes the pedal down,
It's kind of like a
right?
teeter-totter. You got a teeter-totter vibe.
That's right. It's a teeter-totter. And that's your amp, right? That's how much signal you send to your amp on a synth is the same thing with that little foot pedal.
Wow.
And that foot pedal controls a mechanism that we'll talk about.
Okay, okay,
That's like
okay.
your amplitude control.
Very excited.
The amp itself is a wind box. That's how it's powered. And so, a wind box. That's right. And so, back in the day before electricity, they were powered with cranks, and there'd have to be someone to like crank the wind box. Sort of operates the same way as like a bagpipe. You would need to fire it up.
Whoa.
But the windpipe is or the wind box is just a box that pushes wind through sort of like a series of like a network of tubes, and then the you know your wind and the pedals that you or the keys that you press will control little valves that open to send wind to each pipe. So each note is connected to a pipe,
Wow. And
right?
what I think is fascinating about that is it's not like the whole thing is louder or softer based on how hard that person is cranking. As long as they're cranking hard enough that there's wind, right? Obviously, if you run out of like wind, but it's still controlled by the pedal too. And then the pedal sends the wind to the pipe, which resonates like a big flute, right? Like
Yeah.
that's actually really crazy. It would be
It's really crazy.
so
It's
difficult to build.
such a nutty like Rube Goldberg thing. There's just so many there's your brain is just like there's so many parts. You
Yes.
press a key down on the organ and like a tiny little valve opens up like to let the wind through on the wind box. And I guess if there was a synth equivalent, that would sort of be like your oscillator tuning knob would go up and down. But there's
Whoa.
one pipe allocated for each note and more.
Wow.
We'll get into that. So there's a bunch of pipes, right?
Okay.
And you've probably seen them if you've ever been in a church. You've seen a bunch of like pipes on the wall.
Yes,
And
and they're
so what I didn't,
huge.
they're huge. They're enormous. And what I didn't realize was those are only the low notes, the huge pipes.
Wait, really?
Yeah, those like the big ones that you see on the wall are really only the low notes. Like the biggest one is for the lowest note that on the foot pedal. Yeah, by the way, there is a row of like little foot pedal stops that you play with your feet. So that's another piano down there.
Yeah, that's the one that's
Yeah.
also shaped like a piano, but it's just like they're big pedals, so it's easier to play with your feet.
That's right.
And
Yeah, and
they play
so
with one
people
foot, right? Or do they play with both?
they play with both typically, and I think a ton of piano music from before like some year in the 1800s didn't actually have a volume pedal that you could
Yeah.
control, and so a lot of music like fugue music that Bach wrote was written for 2 feet, and
Yep.
you're not, from what I've read, you're not actually changing the volume on the volume pedal all that much in like church music.
Yeah.
That's more of a utility thing.
Oh,
That's
okay.
not like a creative thing.
I see. That's crazy. Like, imagine reading four lines of music at once. Like, most piano music is two lines,
Crazy.
and that is plenty dense. You could be playing, 10 notes at a time. On top of that, 2 feet that are just doing their own line. It's crazy.
Yeah. Plus then, okay, so then we'll get into the other pipes. So the other pipes are always hidden. I didn't realize this
Yeah, why are
upon
they
my
hidden?
research. They're hidden usually behind the big pipes or behind walls with like holes in them. So
Whoa.
usually like an organ would be built with multiple timbres, right? And so
Okay.
you, I mean, everyone sort of vaguely understands, like, oh, an organ can sort of change its tone. Like, an organ can be really brassy or really fluty, you
That's
know, like
true.
really soft or really harsh.
Yep.
Those, each timbre that you can play with is also a separate pipe.
Wait,
And
the math
so,
doesn't add up there. So that organ that has six pianos plus the piano feet, and then all those, like, it's a stop correlate to each different sound.
Yes.
So it'd be the number of stops times the number of keys is the number of pipes.
It gets more complicated than that, but you're on the right track. Like,
Whoa.
there are oftentimes over 1,000 pipes for a single, like, huge church pipe organ, and all of
Oof.
them are just hidden. And the thing is, it starts to make a little more sense when you realize that the pipes for the highest notes are tiny. They're like centimeters tall. And so you
Oh,
can
wow.
line a whole sort of like top register just in like one row.
Yep.
But of course, you'd need like multiple feet worth of church in order to encase the lowest note
Yeah, because it's huge.
times however many registers you have or however many combinations you have.
So this starts to make sense to me why they're in churches, because if you had that many pipes, where would you put that highest register? Like if it was just like in your living room, let's say, and you had like a mini organ. If you just went lowest to highest, when you play low notes, they'd all be on in one area, and you play high notes, they come from a different room practically. But in a
Right.
church, you can get all that to resonate nicely and kind of sound like it's just coming from everywhere rather than like this weird panning effect that you might get.
Yeah, and I think the original use for an organ was sort of a replacement for an orchestra. So that's
Oh.
why the early church fugues that Bach and company wrote, they were all sort of like very polyphonic and complicated to sort of mimic what an orchestra would be doing.
It needs to feel big and busy. And for some reason, people can just play that music. Like, that's the part that destroys me. It's like, how do you play that music? It is so complicated.
My God. Dude, in music school, the organ majors were always like on another planet
Yeah.
intellectually. They're like, you try to talk to them and they're just like thinking about how to cure cancer or something. You just like,
Yeah.
you're like, what is going on inside that brain? You can just feel like the multiple lines of music just going at all
Yeah,
times.
they're seeing multiple dimensions at once, and
Yeah.
that's what
Yeah.
it seems like, honestly.
Yeah, they're super prescient. They're crazy people. Yeah, so there's just so much going on. And when there's, really complicated and awesome organ music, yeah, not only are those people like reading multiple lines, but they're also paying attention to the stop notes, which the way you control which pipes play what, like there are fluty pipes, which are made of sort of different material and are shaped differently. And then there are brassy pipes that are made, with different material. They're oftentimes made of metal and shaped to have sort of like a harsher timbre. And I think that's the fact that it's like an organ was used to replace. That's why on stops, those little like levers that you can pull and push, they're categorized via the orchestral equivalent, right? So you get like, brass or clarinet or oboe or flute.
Oh.
They're categorized like that because they were meant to replace orchestral instruments.
So it's they're just trying to change the timbre in that direction of flutes or brass or whatever it might be, so to mimic it as best they can.
Yeah,
Wow.
and also, I mean, thinking back when we were doing a bunch of like classical works for school, we would oftentimes rehearse with an organ if the orchestra wasn't with us. You
Oh.
know? And so that was like super useful to get sort of, it was much more useful than a piano because a piano can only really do one timbre, but an organ can accomplish a bunch of different timbres,
Yeah.
which
Cool.
is sweet.
Okay. That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, and I didn't realize how many pipes there are.
That's a
Like,
lot of pipes.
so many. There's so many. And I think based on what I've been learning, the early organs, you would sort of flip a stop, so you'd pull a little lever, and the entire set of like fluty pipes, quote unquote, would activate. And so there'd just be like one huge, like, you know, one huge slab of wood that would slide and just let the wind box power like a whole set of pipes.
It's like flute pipes on, flute pipes off. It's just a big valve before all the mini valves in front of all those pipes.
Yeah, valve. That's the word I was looking for. Dang it. A valve. Yeah, it was a big valve. But now I think when organs are built for churches, there are a bunch of different stops, and some of them sort of like slide that valve halfway. And, you know, some of them like engage a whole different set. Like there, I frequently sing at a Methodist church in my area, and just for hire, and they have a stop that's not actually a windpipe at all. It's a series of tines and little like felt hammers to give the organ sort of a percussive thing.
Whoa.
So there's a bunch of different combos. It's sort of a piano. Yeah, they're metal tines, I think, from what I can make out. Or maybe even bells. They're like, but they're, I definitely see like the little felt hammers going. And there's only two octaves of that. And so like you can choose to.
That's crazy.
It's insane. It's so cool. It is really just like a big Rube Goldberg machine.
So it's so much like a synth, because then the next thing I thought from that is, wait a minute, you don't have to just have pipes that play via air flowing through them. You could have pipes that are hammered. And then I thought to myself, well, you could have felt in front of those, which is like what I love from my piano. It has a little felt layer that comes down and softens it. Oh, I love that sound. And then like, well, if you could do that, you could hook up electronic sounds too, or you could, you know, you could have strings going. And then I'm like, wait a minute, that's just what a synth is. Like, you just turn any piano into any sound.
Right. And all of the stops that you control are sort of like your different waveforms. Like your wave shapes that you choose in the beginning.
Yeah, true, because you're making combinations and they're kind of combining.
Yeah.
I mean, they actually are waveforms, because sound is a waveform, right?
That's exactly it. Yeah, and instead of just like actually playing with the wave, you just play with the shape that wind flows through a pipe. You know, it's the same thing.
They're the first synth. It's official.
They're the first synth, bro.
And not even that. Synth, the word synth, synthetic, is like a something that replaces something else, sort of. Makes me think of, you know, replacing an orchestra, just like you might replace the banana flavor in a candy.
Yeah, right, the fake banana flavor.
Fake banana flavor, which is just so bad.
I'm not a fan, bro. I'm not a fan of that or the grape. I can't do it.
I kind of came around to grape. I don't know. Blue raspberry, it's all right. They're all kind of whack.
Yeah, they're all kind of whack.
But lemon is just actually works pretty well.
Yeah. Do you think it's because like they can somehow get away with using lemon, like actual lemon, for the artificial flavor?
Oh, like, true. I don't know.
I don't know. I don't know if that's
called,
true.
Like vitamin C, there's something that is like a pure, like acidic thing that you use in making cheese, actually.
Cheese?
Yeah, I tried making mozzarella, and you use a little bit of something really acidic, and you can use lemon juice as a substitute, but you can't measure it just right, so it kind of messes things up, and it helps the milk coagulate.
Dang.
I made mozzarella one time, so.
That's sweet. I've never tried to make cheese, although in cocktailing, they oftentimes add citric acid to orange juice, because orange juice isn't acidic enough to like be good.
It might have been citric acid. Maybe that's what it was.
Citric acid is like, I didn't realize it was so easy to get. You can just get it on Amazon.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's it. It's just like pure sour.
It's really like, you can, like I have a little vial of it. You can just take a finger and it's like, woo. I didn't really, I always thought it was like chemicals.
A little perk up before you do something. Just a little citric acid on the tongue.
Great for the creative process. So this is the general layout for a pipe organ that you find in a church, you know. And I kind of wanted to start with that because the pipe organ is sort of the original organization for an organ, and it was made again as a replacement for an orchestra, and it was made with no spatial constraints, right? You could have as many pipes as you want, as many combos as you want, as many like, you know, stops up, stops down. There's a ton of creative control. But later, there's the B3 style organ, which is a household organ, right? And I'm saying B3, the first organ wasn't the B3 or the Hammond. It wasn't made by any of those companies. But right around the time that the Ukulin was built, household organs started to be a thing because household organs were finally able to be amped via the electricity that was permissible at the time.
So right? Electricity gets invented, mm-hmm. and they're like, hey, we can stick this in a house and sell yep. it like that, and people can kind of have their own organ.
Yeah, people are going to have their own organ, just like people can have their own upright pianoforte, like a little bit earlier, or their own ukulele. Right. But there's a problem, because organs need a bunch of different timbre options.
Yeah.
And there's not enough space in the household, like you said, to put a bajillion pipes.
Yeah.
So the solution was, instead of having one singular pipe, we're going to craft the pipe so that you can let in different overtones and change the timbre of each pipe via overtone. And that
so
was how
more wind through to the point where it goes to the next overtone, right?
I think so. Yeah, there are different like valves that open up within that, allow different overtones to happen.
Whoa.
And so that's why each, you know, on the really old household organs that your grandma had, you had the stops didn't look like singular like pegs that you could flip on and off. Yeah. There were gradual gradients, and like they were like little slides.
Oh, more like a little trombone.
Yeah, like action. A trombone, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, and there was sort of like a combination of in between. So you could let in like the first partial all the way, and let in the second partial, third partial, fourth partial all the way, and create like a really dense, like whap sound. Or you could have more of a fluty sound if you let in only a few partials and kept all the other partials off.
Yeah, a little more pure. Okay, that's cool.
Yep.
That's really cool.
That was the solution.
I'd love to play with one of those. And that's a genius solution. Like,
well, let's play with one of them.
Like you have, a virtual one.
Yeah. Let's I can go. Pull it up.
I forgot that everything. That's the funny thing about synths. You know, they like we were talking about this. You can have any synth virtually that used to be a real piece of hardware powered by electricity, and then you can also do modular, where you take every piece of the synth kind of piecemeal and connect it together. But that's expensive, so you can also do that virtually. And now we're talking about organs, and you can do like organs virtually too, because wow.
Of course.
Crazy.
Of course you can. I don't actually have a pipe organ. I don't need a pipe organ sound a lot, although it would be really cool to get one. There is one that I should recommend, because my buddy Jason has this plugin. What is it called? It is called the Sound Iron Lakeside Pipe Organ. It's $50, and it's really, really great. And it's recorded. It's exactly like a lot of the other sample libraries that you get. It's a real organ, I think, from somewhere in California. I think Oakland, at a like some sort of Catholic church in Oakland. And they recorded multiple stop settings, all notes. That, you know, they did a really good job with it.
That's cool.
But it's really good. And it's pretty cheap for like a huge complicated sound library. It's like $50.
Yeah, because I remember when we were talking about what it takes to record like a sample, like an instrument sample pack. It's a lot. And in a full church with all the different stops and variants and every single note and all the resonance that comes on it, like that would take a long time.
Yeah, that would be a really huge project. Time. I don't think they have a ton of stop settings. I think they might have like 6 or 7.
Okay. Yeah, it makes sense. Like, it probably start just, to get crazy.
Yeah, and I think they just like combine the different, you know, if you push stops on and off, they don't actually record the combo. They just like blend the samples together. You know what I mean?
Oh, okay. They do that part virtually.
Yeah, I think so, which makes sense. I mean, that's kind of how it's working organically anyway.
Yeah.
But
organic.
Let me show you organic. Whoa. Let me show you the Kontakt version, because Native Instruments Kontakt has a vintage organ plugin that I have pulled up.
And
it's sort of chopped up in sections, right? So Here you can see the just a nice little picture of what
Yeah,
you're
they have like
working
a
with.
picture of an organ. That's really nice.
This is a B3. It says C3 down, tone wheel organ C3. I think they did that for copyright, but this would be a B3 organ right
Okay.
here.
And
And
B3 is
this,
just like the organ you had at home, right?
the B3 organ, I think a lot of people did have household B3s. They're very coveted studio pieces.
Oh.
So if you have like a Hammond B3, or there are a couple other ones that are really famous, then that's a good studio. You want to go to that studio.
I see. Yeah.
But
Cool.
my Oma had some other organ. She had some other thing. And it wasn't, it was like all broken, and but it was still fun to play. There were like keys like dang down, and
Yeah. I've gone to a lot of college parties that had a broken organ in the house that I inevitably played to the point where it annoyed someone and then stopped.
Yeah, right.
How's that guy, I guess?
So, and a lot of those organs that you're probably talking about have little speakers on the side of them
Yeah.
because the whole thing is amped internally via internal power. But the Hammond organs had cabinets. So this little box that you see here next to the organ,
Oh, yeah.
that looks to me like a Leslie amp for an organ.
It's covered in really nice wood trim that kind of
It
matches the
is.
organ. You can see like a cable flowing between the two.
Yeah, and that wood trim is partially to look good and partially to sound good too. So
Oh,
the wood
resonates.
is tempered, and there are holes in specific spots to sort of like let in a warm tone. But
Yeah, the whole
also,
aesthetic is a really interesting mix of kind of new and old. Like it looks like electric, it looks like kind of like a fancy synth in a way, but then all the wood is very natural and sort of like the trim that they do on it is all this kind of ornate detailing that looks kind of old school in a way.
Yeah, and I'm sure the reason for a lot of that has to do with like the technological constrictions of the time. Like,
Oh yeah, for sure.
we couldn't amp this internally because I can see a scenario where they're like, well, we couldn't amp this internally because there'd be so much noise, and like we have to build this box. The amp is important because when you turn this box around, this big wooden box, there's a hole in the bottom slat. And what you'll find is either a pair of speakers or one speaker connected to this cylindrical rotor. And the rotor, when you turn it on, spins around. Right?
Okay.
And what that does is that the actual speaker is attached to that rotor. So what you're getting is you're getting vibrato or
Whoa.
tremolo.
Like natural tremolo literally from whipping a speaker in a circle?
Yep, literally that's what's happening. You that what
Wow.
that characteristic B3, like that
Yeah.
thing is the actual speaker mounted on a rotor, like moving around in the box.
That's so
Isn't
cool.
that
Have you ever
sick?
done that with like a little portable speaker with your friend? You like spin the speaker around their head. You just like hold
Yeah.
it as they sit there and just go as fast as you can. It sounds
Whoa.
wild.
Yeah, it's really fun. Or
I'm worth a
like
try.
the same thing you can do with your phone. If you just have a
Yes.
song playing, you can like whip a phone back and forth across your mouth hole. And it's like
Yes.
But we can actually play with this thing, right? So
Cool.
those of you that are listening on audio, Blake is gonna have to explain what we're seeing here.
Oh, yeah.
Blake loves that.
Yeah, what do we got? We got a bunch of knobs.
We got a bunch of
Wooden,
knobs,
they're
baby. Just like the
plastic.
synth.
It looks just like a synth, honestly.
So these little they're a bunch of like, they're a bunch of pulleys, really. And they sort of slide in different gradients out. So you can sort of grab a pulley and slide it halfway out, or slide it all the way out, or anything in between.
Yep.
And there are a series of eight or nine pulleys per row of keys.
Okay. What are
So
they
the
called there?
lower
It says
manual,
lower manual, upper manual.
that's right. And so the lower half of your MIDI keyboard will be the lower manual, the upper half will be
Oh, got it.
the upper. So it's sort of like, so if you split your MIDI keyboard in half and stacked it on top of each other, that'd be what it is.
So these are your gradient stops, like we talked about in a B3.
Yep.
And there's two sets, one that controls each keyboard. Okay.
That's right. And the lower manual has different, like each pulley is labeled 16 feet, 5 1/3 foot, 8 foot 4 foot, 2 2/3 foot, and so on.
Is that like the
And
length of the different pipes it's?
I think it's the length of the hole in which the overtone starts. Right? And so
Oh.
we can play it. We can sort of
Yeah, let's see what we can hear.
yeah, let's start with the upper manual. So that's just the 16 foot, but we can start pulling out the second pulley, which is labeled 8 feet. Nothing happens. What about 5 1/3? Nothing happens.
I wonder if we need to reset the note, like, because it's digital.
Oh, you're totally right. I need to re-depress the key.
Oh, there it is. Yeah. So
Yep.
that's the 8 feet all the way out.
That's the 8 feet all the way out. Here's the last pulley all the way out. That's 1 foot. Nothing. 2 feet is doing something.
Whoa.
Oh, that's doing a little bit with 2 feet is out. So it
It's
seems
kind
like
of whirring
one.
back and forth there.
Yeah, that would be the that's the speaker sort of. I mean
Is that the rotor?
that whir is the rotor, and then the signal going back and forth is the quote unquote internal effects bank,
Is pretty
which we'll
cool.
get to. Yeah, it's great. It's like. It really is just organized like a synthesizer. Like what we're playing with is like an FM modular, like frequency modulation, really. We're just
Yeah.
like playing with the overtones, giving it texture, giving it color.
Yeah, because so essentially the wind coming through is your oscillator, right? And then.
That would be, yeah. I mean, it's weird because your oscillator is sort of controlling like the well, yeah, I guess the wind would be more of your amp. Like, that would be your
You're right,
amplifier.
yeah, because it makes the
Yeah.
pipe resonate.
Yeah, and the more wind you have, the more you depress that volume key, the more volume you have.
Yep.
Which is weird because there's really no, like, envelope with a synthesizer or with a with an organ. It's always like you depress a key and it's with some exceptions, there's like no attack and release, it's just sustain. It's just like
Right.
note. You know?
Yeah. That's what's
However, I
missing
think
from it.
and well, I think on this particular vintage organ plugin, there is an attack and release setting, and
Oh.
they're very conservative. Here, let's.
Because, yeah, if they were too aggressive, it wouldn't sound like an organ.
Yeah, the attack, that's all the way up. So it's not a crate, it's a maybe like a second. And
Yeah.
then the release is already set to maybe a fourth. Let's turn the release all the way up. You can see it like go away over the course of maybe 2.5 seconds, but it's not too crazy.
Yeah, that sounds more like. You kind of gently let go of the keys, or
Yeah.
it sounds like a synthesizer.
Yeah, and the organ at the studio that I work at does not have attack and release, and I don't think many organs do. So that's sort of fun. And the rotor is really fun to play with. Can I explain how the rotor works? Because
Yes,
the
please.
rotor is sort of like an integral part of the sound. So the way that the old organs and the organ at our studio is set up is the organ is connected to a little like clicker foot pedal. And the clicker foot pedal, if you click it, it engages the like fast setting on the rotor. So the rotor spins like very quickly.
Yeah.
And then when you press it again, it goes back to the slow setting on the rotors, which is more like, obviously slow. But the
Yeah.
idea is you would click that pedal if you want the organ to like pick up energy during a spot in the music. And then you would click that pedal again when you want the organ to like settle back down. And it's kind
Okay.
of amazing to think about because there's no attack and release and there's really not a lot of volume control, the engineers for these organs needed a way to like make the organ more expressive. And so that was
Right.
their solution to like give the organ more spin,
It kind of
right?
has, yeah, it has a pulse to it. That's a genius idea. It's just, like everything we talked about in the synth series, like before this one, about how to make that sound more alive. if there's no envelope, it doesn't sound super alive. So this is a great another solution to do that.
It's kind of brilliant. And these guys building these organs for households, they were so smart. And this, for those of you watching, you can see this. There's this rotor. I think they call it a rotator. And it goes slow and fast, and you can sort of like manually control it. However, it is automatically bound to your modulation wheel on your MIDI keyboard. So I'm clicking my little mod wheel thing.
And that just flips it up and down.
Yeah, so here's what it sounds like. I'm going to just play like a C major 7 key, and then I'm going to engage the fast rotor and then turn it back off.
Okay.
That's what it sounds like.
I actually recognize that. It sounds familiar.
Yeah.
But I never thought of it as an actual spinning speaker. It's so cool.
Dude, it's crazy. All those old soul records, the organ players were really like touchy with the way that they would like, and like sort of pull the music forward with the organ playing. And I mean, there's a bunch of very inventive organ players. Yeah. Like someone had to have invented that sort of thing. You know,
totally.
Yeah, it is. And like, there are just so many things to do. I mean, we can pull up a preset. Let's go to a jazz, I don't know, and pull up a preset called Little Girl. What the heck? I mean, that's sweet. That's sort of like almost a little harsh.
Yeah, it is. Organs remind me of a time, you know? Like, I always make the joke that organ solos, you don't hear those in music anymore, but they were all over in the 70s and 80s, I mean, probably the 60s a little bit too. And before that, there is a whole another type of organ music. And yeah, they're kind of nostalgic in a way. I feel like that sound is attached to nostalgia.
I agree. And I think with some of these new organ plugins and with like modern technology and plugins to just like mess up sounds, you can make an organ do what a synth can do with just like a little bit of knowledge about what's going on. So like let's sort of pull up another preset real quick before we run out of time. C3 jazz. That's sweet. Let's go to
the
amp.
Wild one.
That is a wild one. Let's turn up the release. Let's turn up the drive. Let's give it some plate reverb.
Okay.
Let's keep the rotor on. Let's change the amp. Yeah, the Leslie open. That's what we use at the studio, actually. We take the back panel off and we mic sort of the front and the back. Let's change it to a random cabinet amp and turn up the air. Let's turn down the treble, turn up the mids and bass.
These are just all the things that are right in the organ, you know.
Yeah, it's right in the
here.
Yeah, it's right in the amps setting.
Yeah.
Of all of this stuff. Yeah, this all sounds good. Maybe we can even mess with the timbre. We have less than a minute.
Let's play us out.
Imagine using that in music. That's modern right there.
That is modern. I was gonna say, like, you totally blew me out of the water there. Like, that is a super modern cool sound. That's awesome. Organs are synths are organs. It's been real, Marty.
We're out of time, bro. That's it. Go use organs. Bye.
Much love, everybody.